In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the gospel reading today, a young man has died. And I would like to ask you a very important question about that. And that is, why did he die? What was it that took his life? Because when this happens now, today, when a young person dies, that usually is our first question. Now just think about when somebody tells you, you hear through the grapevine, that a young gal or guy has died, or you are reading the obituaries in the newspaper and you see someone who is young in there. And by young, of course, what is young usually? Younger than me. That's what young usually is for all of us. So we see somebody young, and we first want to know, what happened? Why did they die? Why so young, right? So that's all I'm asking you about this. What happened to this young man? Was it maybe an accident? You know, maybe he worked with his father in the shop and there was some kind of major accident, or maybe he fell somehow, hit his head. Or was it a disease, like something like today, you know, that takes so many young people, cancer? Was it something like that, you know, where he had some disease that had attacked his organs? Or was it some type of heart defect, you know, that he was born with, had something wrong with his heart, it wasn't right? And maybe you will say to me, well, who cares? What does it matter? He died. And I could say, well, yeah, in one sense it doesn't matter. But there's another sense where it really does matter. Because I want all of you to see just how great the miracle actually is. In other words, I don't want anyone thinking that, like, the young man was maybe just in a coma. You know, and all of a sudden Jesus came up and yelled at him and, oh, he woke up. Or I don't want you to think that, you know, he was just unconscious or something like this. He was dead. He had died. There was something major wrong with his body that had caused him to die. So Jesus could not just come up to him and say, hey, start living again, and his body is just perfect again. There is a real, genuine, big miracle that goes on here. You know, there needs to be a complete healing of his body, and then, on top of that, a calling back of his soul from God to raise him from the dead. So let me give you a for instance. Let's say that the young man has died from a heart defect, just to take one example. We don't know, of course. So let's say he had a bad heart, he had it all his life, and his heart finally quit. So if Jesus is going to raise him from the dead, you see, he not only has to call back his soul from God, but he also has to fix his heart, because he's got a heart defect. And Jesus is not going to use any kind of scalpel. There's no operating room. But he's just going to heal his heart with a word. So you start to see that this is not like just some little miracle where we can just say, ah, it's no big deal. This is a big miracle. They're walking out of town to bury this young man in the ground. It's not like he just died an hour ago. He's been dead for days. And they've had the wake, you know, where they've waited to see if he's going to wake up, and he hasn't, because he is dead. They're going out to bury him. And here comes Jesus, walks right up to them, stops the funeral procession. He sees the mom crying. He tells her, don't weep. He sees the young man in the casket. He goes up to it, and he calls him back to life. And understand, there's a little point there you may not catch. The young man is dead, can't hear him, right? But Jesus can talk to the dead. There's the movie that was now is getting old, Sixth Sense, but a lot of you probably remember the line, the famous line, I see dead people. Well, Jesus said, I talk to dead people. So he talks to this young man, I say to you, arise. And in that word, in those simple words from Jesus, he calls the soul back from God and heals the boy of whatever had caused his death in the first place. What do you think of a miracle like that? That's a big miracle. What do you think about it? A very similar miracle happens in the Old Testament today. You have another widow who has lost her son, and this son is younger even than the one in the gospel reading. But if you're not piecing all this together, last week Elijah, there was a famine, and he goes to this widow's house, and she says, my son and I are going to die. We don't have any food. And he says, don't worry, the jar of flour and the oil, it's never going to run out. It's that same widow. So he's been with her for a while, and then her son becomes very ill and dies. And again, let me remind you, he is definitely dead. He is not just unconscious or slipped into a coma or something like this. He's not breathing. I mean, the text itself says that there was no breath left in him. So Elijah, unlike Jesus, he's not God, so he can't raise the boy himself, but what he does is he goes upstairs and prays to God. God, you raise him back to life. And as he prays, he lays himself on the child three times, and just understand again everything that is happening in this miracle. For one, God is calling this boy's soul back to his body, and for two, he's healing whatever causes death in the first place. And what does this woman say after she sees a miracle like this? She says, now I know. Now I know. Now I know that you're a man of God, and I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. That is a big deal. Now I know the truth. And all of this I'm trying to get across to you is that miracles matter. They matter a lot. These two miracles we heard about today matter because they show us that God is really God. Sometimes people will say something like this, do you really believe in miracles? You know, you're a Christian. Do you really believe in all those miracles? And I think first you have to be careful with that question. You have to say, well, what do you mean by a miracle? Because they might be talking about just everyday miracles. And we would say, like, a baby being born is a miracle, right? We would all say that. But there's a difference between that miracle and a miracle that we're talking about that breaks the laws of nature. You know, like there's a difference between like when God parts the Red Sea and makes water stand up like a wall. That's kind of breaking the laws of nature with water. Or when God, you know, another one, like he calms the storm, Jesus does. Or when he raises the dead. So do you believe in miracles? Those kind of miracles. And what we as Christians have to say is, of course, we must believe in miracles. Because if we didn't, how would we know that God exists? How would you know God exists if he didn't do miracles? Right? How can we believe in a God that never does anything that only God can do? If God is the one who made all the laws of nature, then he must be able to break those laws of nature. Otherwise, he's not God. So don't miss the miracles. They matter a lot. Elijah prayed to God over a dead young boy, and he came back to life. And Jesus stopped a funeral procession on the way to the cemetery and said, young man, I say to you, arise, and he came back to life. Those are major miracles. And why does all this matter? What do they show you? They show you that God is God. It shows us that we can say, now I know. I know that the word of God is truth. That's where you and I want to be. With the woman, with Elijah, where she says, now I know. And so the other thing then, to complete this, that we need to talk about a little bit is truth. If we say miracles are very important, they matter, they show us God is true, well, the problem is truth itself has taken this huge hit in our American culture, and it's a big problem. You probably heard these big words like postmodernism, relativism, things like this. All truth is relative. But the basic problem is really simple. The basic problem is that all of us as Americans have bought in to this idea that there's nothing that's true for everyone everywhere. The basic problem is that, you know, people think something may be true for you, but it may not be true for me. So, for instance, you might be telling somebody that when we die, we're going to go to either heaven or hell. And they say to you, well, how do you know that's true? And most of us are going to be like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not true. Maybe you're right. Because that's what we've been taught. How can we know something's true? Well, maybe you say something better. Maybe you say, well, the Bible says it's true. And then they say, yeah, but how can you really know the Bible's true? To which we should say, Well, yes, I can believe the Bible's true because all the evidence overwhelmingly supports it. But instead, what we're being taught and trained, what we've all kind of been just bombarded with in our American culture is we say, well, I don't know if it's true. Right? We've been taught that no one can really know for sure what's really true. We've been taught a lie, that there's no objective truth, that nothing is really true for everyone, everywhere. And this is really hard on the Christian faith. It destroys it. What we've been taught is that you can believe whatever you want to believe, and that's going to be true for you, and then over here I can believe what I want to believe, and that'll be true for me. But understand, if you just think about it even a little bit, it's a total lie. We can never live our lives like that. All the time, our lives are filled with truth. Now, if I look at my watch right now and I say it's 10:30 or whatever time it is, right? That's true. If you were to try to tell me, no, you're wrong, it's 6 p.m. right now, all the rest of you would say, no, that's wrong, it's 10:30. And we say, that's true. Or if I say the earth is flat, that's false. Even though common sense, if I look outside, everything looks like it's flat, you're all going to tell me, no, you're wrong. We know the earth is round. It's true, and we know it's true because of the overwhelming evidence. And when we talk about our Christian faith, that's what we're talking about. We don't just believe it's true because, well, my heart tells me it's true. I believe it's true because all the evidence tells me it's true. And the miracles are a very big part of that. We need to see these miracles and we need to say, now I know God is true. So if you've never thought about this, here's what we know to be true as Christians. We know, number one, God exists, because there's overwhelming evidence that God exists. And, you know, if you had all day, we could go through all of that. But we know God exists. There's evidence for that. Secondly, since He exists, we know there must be miracles, because God Himself can break His laws of nature. Third, we know the Bible tells us about those miracles, and we know the Bible is reliable because it's the most historically reliable book that's ever been written, especially the New Testament. No book even comes close to the historical reliability of the Bible. Fourth, we know that Jesus claimed He was God and showed He was by the greatest miracle ever, the resurrection from the dead. And because we know all of that, that God exists, that there must be miracles, that the Bible tells us there's miracles, and we can trust the Bible, and that Jesus performed the greatest miracle ever, rising from the dead, then we know everything He taught us is true. So when someone's feeding you the line that, well, you can't really know anything to be true, right? Understand it's just a line. It's false. We all live by truth every single day. So how do you know that Jesus is the truth? How do you know that Christianity is the truth and that the other religions are not? Of course, there may be some truth in them, but inherently they're wrong. How do you know that? How do you know that Jesus is really here in this sanctuary right now? How do you know that? How do you know that Jesus really does forgive your sins? How do you know that when we take communion, Jesus' body and blood is really in and under that bread and wine? How do you know all of this? And the foundational reason that you know all of that to be true is what? Because He rose from the dead. The greatest miracle ever. Remember the widow's words when Elijah raises her son from the dead. Now I know. And that's you and me with the resurrection of Jesus. Now I know that God's word is true. That guy on that morning in Nain, who walked up to that casket and said, young man, I say to you, arise. That guy died for me, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And witness after witness after witness saw him risen from the dead, right? And his dead body was not found anywhere because it had risen. None of his enemies could explain it with any kind of logical explanation. And for 40 days, he was in and out with his disciples appearing to them. It's a miracle, a real miracle, something that only God can do. And because of it, I know. Now you know. You don't just come to church because your mom and dad came to church. You don't just come to church because if you don't, somebody's going to make you feel guilty about it. You don't just come to church because, well, that's what everyone else does, or because, well, I'm just a Midwestern American. You go to church because it's true. It's the truth. Now I know. Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sin, and that believing in him, I will not die, but will have eternal life. You know it's true. And as Luther taught us to say in the Small Catechism, this is most certainly true. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.